Jason, Big Joe, SEC Media Days. Our coverage rolls right along, presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. And I have been excited to talk to our next guest, our buddy Chris Childers, SiriusXM College Sports Radio, and also the host of Full Ride, the show pony, I think is what they call
That's
you.
That's what they call I don't know why, because there's nothing show pony about me.
Yeah, and also a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. So,
yes.
You know, we love that.
But, major supporter of the Blue Raiders.
Absolutely. But SEC Media Days rolling right along. Alabama in the hot seat today. And it's funny, I know the Nick Saban stuff kind of started on Monday, and I feel like that's cooled off. You know, Greg kind of backed some of that back. But, you know, that doesn't help Kalen DeBoer, right? I mean, he won 9 games last year, which in Alabama standards is terrible and fireable. And now you get this rumor. Yeah. I mean, you like, can the guy get a break?
No, and so it's interesting. I just got a degree from Alabama in May. And I walked in May, and so I was there on campus for a couple of days, and Nick Saban was the commencement speaker with the president on Thursday, and then we had our other ceremony. And my mom and dad came from Chicago because they had never been, and there was, you know, got my master's. It was cool. So, and my dad's not a big sports fan.
Yeah.
But he knows enough to know who Nick Saban is. And just by walking around town, my mom and dad just assumed that he was the football coach still. They just assumed it was, there was no even like Kalen DeBoer, I think there might've been a little picture of him in the Boomhauer's restaurant. It's Nick Saban's town. If you've ever been to Tuscaloosa, if you can compare it to when you were a kid compared to where it is now, it's the town that Nick Saban built.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So DeBoer comes in there, 9 wins last year. They go in a different direction. Although I think the reason why Nick Saban's no longer the coach there is because he realized he could not be himself anymore.
Yeah.
He could not win anymore. He couldn't stockpile. What I mean to say, he used to stockpile defensive linemen.
Right.
And what he was able to do with all this RPO, you know, you guys are Preds fans.
Yeah.
You know, hockey shifts, right?
Yeah.
He was able to throw guys in and out. It's why he had such a big advantage. And they were fresh off the edge. They were coming after the quarterback. And they literally had a cycle of guys that all looked like, what's the guy's name that's here right now? The defensive line.
Yeah.
I mean, they all look the part, right? Saban realized that after that Michigan game, when they were all coming, what can you do for me, money, that he can't do that anymore. He couldn't stockpile.
Yeah.
So DeBoer not only had to operate in the new world, where the state of Alabama only has one billionaire, and he's an Auburn fan, the Yellowwood guy. But now he's got to do it in the wake of Nick Saban, which makes it even worse.
Right.
So to your point, can he get a break? No.
Yeah.
He's in great spirits today. I don't know if you've seen him yet, but he's happy and jovial and saying all the right things. And I do believe the reason he feels better is because Ryan Grubb is back as his offensive coordinator.
Is he the guy that took the job and not necessarily wanted the job, because there were so many other names that were mentioned for the job that were basically like, I don't want to follow that.
I think it's like Brian Harsin. You take this job because you have to.
Yeah.
You just have the chance to be the head coach of Alabama. Even if Alabama, see, I have this theory, and it's very unpopular, so you can fight me all you want, call me an idiot. I'm sure you will. But I have this theory that in the last couple of years, Georgia, Bama, et cetera, are not as powerful as they once were.
Yeah.
That in the shifting of the NIL and collective, that the power has shifted to a certain couple of brands in the North. And I think it's playing out that way, which is why you're seeing all this fight happen to get organization to have a salary cap. If we go to a salary cap, the SEC can still be the SEC.
Sure.
But I think Nick Saban's retirement is a reflection that the SEC lost a little bit of that. They have an equal partner now when they used to be God, if that makes sense to you. And I think that's why Saban's no longer there, and it makes the Alabama job harder. The job that he took was not the job that it was 2 years previous.
Right.
Because of what happened with the Alston case in 2021. So and that's why Nick's no longer there. So it's a different world. But you know, as somebody who does sports every day in the South, The fans don't care about the reasons.
Right.
They don't give a damn about the why. They expect Alabama to be in the playoff every year. So something's going to come to a head.
I agree with you. Chris Childers is with us on the Chasing Big Joe show. Let me tell you something, Chris. Nobody's talking about Alabama.
Nobody.
And it's great.
I love it.
And they're loaded.
Yeah, they're loaded. Their defense.
Loaded.
Yes.
Right? They don't have a quarterback. We know that. But DeBoer.
But they might.
DeBoer develops those guys. We've seen it. His career is
short. And Ryan Grubb is back with him.
Yep.
Right.
Grubb was the guy who was with him at Washington when they took the Indiana transfer quarterback, Michael Penix, and made him the eighth pick?
Yeah.
Right across the street, right?
Yep.
He was good at Indiana. He was good for that coaching staff, but he became an NFL superstar under that system. I don't think Jalen Milroe necessarily, he's a great athlete, but I don't think he fit what Kalen DeBoer wants to do.
Right.
I think by not going into the portal, it seems to me that they're saying volumes of what they think of Ty Simpson.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Chase gets tired of me asking this question to all of our guests, but the Arch Manning love, Chris.
Yeah.
He's done
nothing.
Look, he's great. He's done nothing. He beat Louisiana Tech, I think, and Mississippi State. That's great. He's got the lineage, but he's not Diego. He hasn't beaten
Alabama. He's done anything. No.
Right? Am I wrong on this?
No, you're not wrong. And I think Arch would agree with you. I think I try to think if it was me, if my uncle was Peyton Manning, if my uncle was Eli, if they had the Super Bowls and the MVPs, and my name was Manning, and now they're telling me that I'm really good like my uncles.
Right.
Now I've got to live up to that. I think it's harder for him than it ever was for Eli or Peyton, just because he has the expectation to be them. He has not done anything. I made this point yesterday. People want to call him the preseason Heisman favorite. He played a little bit last year and played well. But I remember Jeremy Johnson at Auburn?
Yeah.
When he came in and played really well, and everybody's like, that guy's the Heisman favorite. He's going to be awesome. I think he was like 6-1 odds and lost his job, I think, by the end of the year. So Arch has done absolutely nothing. It's more of a reflection. It's not on the kid. It's more of a reflection of American culture, celebrity culture, and just, I guess, celebrity infatuation altogether. Because you have this guy. It's like, you know, Prince William. When he walks into a room, everybody goes nuts. What the hell did he ever do in his life other than be Prince William? Right? I mean, I don't know anything he's accomplished other than being Prince William.
Yeah.
And for Arch Manning, he hasn't accomplished anything but be Arch Manning. So I completely agree with you.
Prince Arch.
Real quick, I took a picture of you can take a picture looking down on the podium.
Yeah.
And it was, I saw Pavio Monday and Arch yesterday. Equal amount of media scrum on both quarterbacks.
Cool.
So I think it's great. I think Diego rocked this world on Monday. We're still talking about it.
Diego Pavia is the most un-Vanderbilt player ever. and it's great because they need to be that. They need to have somebody like him. They need to have a guy that's an exceptional football player. He might not have the acumen that other Vanderbilt kids have. There's one incident that stands out to me. There was an NIL t-shirt that was released last year. And I was like, oh my God, this is not happening. And Diego gets up on Twitter and is like, this is a fake shirt. Don't buy this. And it was actually not. It was done through his agents.
Oh.
And so was like, and I'm like, dude, you go to Vanderbilt. Like, you gotta think about this kind of stuff. But as far as the attitude, the play, everything, what he has done for the brand of Vanderbilt, what he has done, we are in an interesting transitional time right now.
Yeah.
Everything we knew about college football is dead. So now it's about positioning yourself for this new era. Vandy's got, to me, the coach. They've got a general manager who has been to these media days a million times, Barton Simmons.
Yeah, we let Clark know we were unhappy about that because he took our recruiting guy.
Mine too. I got another one if you want it, though.
Yeah.
I got a guy that I use all the time. He took mine away too. But and then those two guys were high school pals.
Sure.
I think it was BGA or NBA.
NBA. Yeah.
So the trust there, when you're building a roster, as you do it in a place that is so tricky like Vanderbilt, I think is invaluable. Mm-hmm. So Diego Pavia's presence not only makes them good, the relevance, the swag, it makes them feel SEC, doesn't it?
It does, for sure.
Chris they feel Childs, SEC with him.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a more of an even playing field now with him there.
Chris, he's fun, man.
Chris Childers is with us, SiriusXM. Now, I know you do a little bit on the NASCAR channel as well, and you know we've been to a race together. So
we
you
have
know,
in Atlanta.
You know my love for racing.
Which, by the way, I got to say, because I don't think I've been on the air with you since you've been a host. I'm really proud of you.
Oh, thanks, man.
Doing what you do, I get to hear you at the track. And I told you years ago that I mean, I always thought you were going to be doing this. And I'm glad that you just kept at it. So it's really cool. Right. Yeah.
I appreciate
you're
that.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chris. You've always been
you're
a
welcome.
Good mentor to me. Looking, I know you're tied in with Roush Fenway, Keselowski Racing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've talked to all three of those drivers this year. I feel like they're right there.
They
do get there and when they do break through, it's going to be like a floodgate open.
Yeah, we thought Chris was going to win a couple weeks ago in Chicago, and they had the Cinnadust ready. Mm-hmm. He was driving that Cinnamon Toast Crunch car,
yep.
The Kroger, and they had, like, literally a big thing of Cinnadust to spray his confetti. Like, it was going to be unbelievable. They were so prepared for the moment, and he almost pulled it off, which would have been awesome. They're right there. Brad's got six races to get it done.
Yep.
I was talking yesterday to Jeremy Bolins, his crew chief. They are really eager to get past these road courses. Brad's better. He's not a road racer.
Yeah.
He's not a road racer. He's an oval guy. He's brilliant. I think Dover is going to give him a chance. You know, Dover's such a wild card. And you got to think at some point, like, if it wasn't for bad luck, Brad Keselowski wouldn't have any luck at all this year.
Yeah.
You got to think six left to go. There's a chance. What's amazing to me, though, and I think Brad would reflect this, is the consistency of Ryan Preece and Chris Buescher.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even without getting to victory lane, Ryan was a guy. Last year, they were flirting with the 60 car. They did stage 60. They did a couple races, Daytona, Chicago. And different guys. We had a hodgepodge of different guys that drove that car. Ryan was somebody, when they chose him, I heard mixed reactions. And now people are going up to, like, the director of competition, Josh, and, like, you guys nailed it. You got the perfect guy for your team. And
he's a good driver.
And not only that, I think Ryan Preece gets this rap of being arrogant or cocky. He's one of the greatest dudes to be around. He's just a young, fun, let's go.
Yeah.
He's a racer.
Yep.
He's a racer. And then Buescher, we were talking about this yesterday, too. I mean, it wasn't but a couple of years ago he rattled off all those wins in a row. He's really good.
Yeah.
He's got the speed. I don't know. I don't know why Chris Buescher hasn't won a race yet. I'll put it that way.
I'm with you.
But it's got to be coming.
I'm with you. I think all three.
The team's good, and the speed is there. The speed is there for RFK.
This question, people may go, wait, what? Chase Elliott won a few weeks ago, you know, and finally got his first win of the year. He, I believe, has been one of the most consistent drivers in the Hendrick camp. Byron, Elliott, Larson are atop the standings. Mm-hmm. But do you feel like Hendrick's cooled off a little bit? They're going to heat back up.
You know, it's interesting because the season is so damn long and you go through these ebbs and flows and it really is just kind of a up and down kind of cycle. But I will tell you this. I do believe that come playoff time, they will find their speed. And for Chase to be the one that's consistent...
Yeah,
is so good for that team. I know you got a fancy person coming, but it's great for the team, I promise you.
We'll talk more racing.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. Chris Childers joining us. More coming from SEC Media Days, 102.5 The Game.